Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are at the bottom of Daf Tet Amud Bet, that's 9b, at the Mishnah, the last couple of lines. And this is our final Mishnah of the Ein Bein variety, comparing two things that are fundamentally similar but have specific differences. And this last one is comparing Shiloh and Jerusalem. For several hundred years, for 369 years, there was a kind of a Beit HaMikdash, but not quite permanent, that was in Shiloh, north of Jerusalem, and that was the center of spiritual sacrifice, of the spiritual worship of the Jewish people. And then eventually, the Beit HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, and all of the sacrifices were offered there. So Shiloh, in many ways, was kind of like a Beit HaMikdash, but not in all ways. So here's what the Mishnah says. Ein bein Shiloh Yerushalayim. There is no difference between Shiloh and Jerusalem. Ella Shebeshiloh, except that in Shiloh, ochlin kodshim kalim, they would eat the less stringent sacrifices, sacrifices that were not on quite as holy a level. They were on this on one layered level down of holiness. So they would eat kachim kalim, umaser sheni, and the second tithe. The second tithe was a tithe that was turned into money and brought to Jerusalem, and you could eat it in Yerushalayim. You would spend the money in Yerushalayim and eat it there. Or I guess here in this case, Shiloh. So those sacrifices, kachim kalim and maser sheni, could be eaten b'chol haroah. Any place that was in visual sight of Shiloh, you could eat it. However, in Yerushalayim, lifnim min hachomah, had to be eaten inside of the wall, inside the temple precinct itself. You couldn't; it couldn't just be within eyeshot. This is not the only distinction between Yerushalayim and Shiloh, and this is true as we've seen over and over again in this Mishnayot. This is not a comprehensive listing of any differences between them. It's just in regard to sacrifices, because the Beit HaMikdash, for instance, was different than the house at Shiloh. The house at Shiloh did not have a permanent roof. So there are other differences between them, but regarding sacrifices, this is the only difference between them. Vikan ukan, both in Shiloh and in Yerushalayim, I'm on the last line of the daf. Kodshi kodshim ne'achalim lifnim min haklayim. The holy of holy sacrifices, the ones that were on the holiest level, those had to be eaten inside of the curtains. Inside of the curtains means inside the actual holy area of Shiloh and of Yerushalayim. Now here's an additional distinction, and this is an important distinction. Kedushat Shiloh, now I'm on the top of 10a of Yud Amud Aleph. Kedushat Shiloh yesh achareha heter. When Shiloh was destroyed, there was then a heter afterwards for them to offer sacrifices on a bama. As we discussed in our previous recording, a bama a bama ketana was like a private altar that you could offer certain kinds of voluntary sacrifices on. So once Shiloh was destroyed, when Shiloh existed, they weren't allowed to use a bama ketana. They weren't allowed to have any private altars. But after Shiloh was destroyed, they were allowed to use private altars. However, ukedushat Yerushalayim, the holiness of Jerusalem, ein achareha heter. There is no heter afterwards. Meaning, even after Yerushalayim was destroyed and the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, it did not revert back to a situation in which they could do bamas, which is why we don't have bamas now. Tosfos does say something interesting, though. He says, even though we may not have bamot, it is possible that, according to the Torah, it is permissible to offer sacrifices in the spot of Yerushalayim, where the temple used to stand. Even though there's no temple there, we might be able to offer sacrifices there because it's still a holy place, but we would not be able to offer sacrifices on a bama. We may have other problems why we can't offer sacrifices there or elsewhere, problems of purity and other issues. But as far as whether or not we're allowed because of the sanctity of the place, it is possible that the Temple Mount area in Yerushalayim has enough holiness that you could offer the sacrifices in that spot. Okay, but the Gemara is first bothered by the possibility that even after Yerushalayim was destroyed, you couldn't offer sacrifices on a bama, because it seems to have a counterexample. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Shamati, I heard, Shemakrivim bevet chonyo bizman hazeh, that they are offering sacrifices in the temple of Chonyo, which was it's called the Temple of Onias, which was a Beit HaMikdash-style structure that was built in Alexandria in Egypt. And in some ways, it functioned like a Beit HaMikdash, but it was never sanctioned by the rabbis. So Kasavar, he holds Beis Chonyo lav Beit Avod Zarah. He holds that Beit Chonyo was a holy place. It wasn't an idolatrous place, meaning there was a, you know, the idea of building a temple in Egypt instead of in Jerusalem is kind of a little sketchy, but apparently Rabbi Yitzchak felt that it was legitimate in any case. The Kasavar, he must also hold Kiddusha Rishona Kiddusha L'Shaita V'lo Kiddusha L'Atid Lavo. This is the major machloket that's here, and it's a major machloket in Shas. What he says here is Kiddusha Rishona, the original sanctification of Yerushalayim, Kiddusha L'Shaita, made it holy temporarily, that is, while Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash were built. V'lo Kiddusha L'Atid Lavo, but it is not sanctified forevermore, for eternity. So once the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash also goes away with it. It goes away, and its sanctity goes away at the same time. How does he say this? This is his opinion. Dichtiv, as it is written, and this is in Devarim chapter 12, Ki lo vatem, for you have not come ad ata, so far, as of yet, el hamenucha ve'el hanachala, el hamenucha to the resting place, ve'el hanachala and to the inheritance. So Rav Shimon interprets menucha, the resting place, zushilo, that's where God's presence rested for many, many years. Nachala, but the inheritance, Zu Yerushalayim. This is Jerusalem. So they're similar, but they're slightly different. However, here in the Pasuk, because Menucha and Nachala are right next to each other, we say Makish Nachala leMenucha. We have a Hekesh, some kind of a connection between Nachala and Menucha in the same verse. Ma Menucha Yesh Achare HaHeter, just like Shiloh had afterwards a Heter, once it was destroyed, you could bring Karbanot on a Bama. Af Nachala Yesh Achare HaHeter. So even Jerusalem, if the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, you should be able to offer sacrifices on a Bama. That is Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion, and that's why he thought it would be okay to offer, to have sacrifices offered in the Temple of Onias, Beit Chonyo, in Egypt. Amrulei, so the sages said to Rabbi Yitzchak, Amart, did you say this? I mean, that sounds crazy, is basically what they're saying. Amar Lahu, he said to them, Lo, no, I didn't say that. That doesn't sound right. That sounds crazy, right, basically. Amar Rava said, and in disbelief, and in a little bit, in outrage, HaElohim, God, Amra, you said it. Ugmirna lamina mine. I not you. He said it, and I learned it from him. I was there in the room when he said it. That's what Rava says. So what we basically understand is that maybe Rabbi Yitzchak said it, but afterwards he regretted it and he retracted it. Umay taima kahadar bay. So why did he retract his original teaching? Mishum kasha de Rav Meri, because of the question of Rav Meri, and it's not really a question; it's a statement. But Rav Meri has a forceful opinion, and it made Rabbi Yitzchak reconsider his opinion. The motive of Rav Meri asked, Kiddushat Shiloh yesh achareha heter, if the sanctity of Shiloh is such that after Shiloh is destroyed, there is a heter to offer sacrifices on a private altar afterwards. Kiddushat Yerushalayim ein achareha heter, but the sanctity of Jerusalem is such that after it's destroyed, there is no heter to offer sacrifices on a bama. So that doesn't sound like a question. That sounds like a statement. The Od Tanan, and moreover, we have learned in a Mishnah, Misha Ba'uli Rushalayim, once they came to Jerusalem, Ne'esru HaBamot, the Bamot became forbidden. V'lo Hayalahem Od Heter, and there was no longer any heter to offer sacrifices on a bama. V'hi haita l'nachala. And it, Jerusalem, and the Beit HaMikdash in Jerusalem, were an inheritance for the Jewish people, meaning that was the only place where they could offer sacrifices from that time forward. So that seems to be, right now, the conclusion of the Gemara. In our next recording, we'll see that there is a wide-ranging dispute about this topic. Have a wonderful day.